Pizza Wars, of course, a Dan Dualphase production featuring Dory Forma and some heavy breathing by Paul Mack. Now, Paul, from there, you went on and you brought up the movie line.
Yeah.
Pretty much, when did you bring up the movie line?
Yeah, well, it wasn't right after Pizza Wars, of course. It was a whole 3 years later. But basically, my working with Dan and becoming a kind of a type of, like I said, annoying personality. Much the way Richie Calcom started out, but the only difference is I had charisma. But no, seriously, the thing stemmed out. I mean, Dan had encouraged me many times to run a line, and on a couple of instances, I had had done some recordings for Dan while he went away to England, and I called them Ring-a-ling-a-line. That was my original concept for a telephone entertainment line. I wanted to come out with Ring-a-ling-a-line, and I actually made one or two Ring-a-ling-a-line recordings, and I think Ron Van Nuys has that recording today. It's my very first produced telephone entertainment thing. It was awful. But then finally Dan encouraged me to go into it, and so around late 1982, I had given it a lot of thought. Dan had gone down at that point. He had been down for a few months. So I figured, well, he said, well, why don't you do it? So I said, all right, get me started. I knew nothing about the technicalities of running a phone line. So Dan got me the coupler, the equipment to play back on, and I came up with the concept of Paul Mack Presents. Dan wanted me to keep that title because he figured if I ever needed, and he foresaw this, he said if I ever needed to change the format of the show from movies, that we can keep it under the banner of Paul Mack Presents and still, you know, have it, you know, Paul Mack Presents the weather, Paul Mack Presents the time, you know, whatever.
Right, but, and you did mostly on the movie line when the movie line came up, and I was a big fan of the movie line for a long time. It was movies for the obvious reason. You've been making films for most of your life.
Yeah.
And
I was, plus at that time, I was working at the studio. I was working for Walt Disney Studios.
Right, and on the movie line, you often played various trailers of movies. You told people where they could go to
see
the latest
movies,
critique them.
I love them.
That's one thing, too, I wanted to ask you, a little bit of the background of Paul Mack, the movie maker, how you got started in films and...
Well, it was just a thing where I was, you know, my I was 11 years old, and I guess on my 11th or 12th birthday, I don't remember. I was 11. I got a Super 8 camera, and we started playing around with it, my brother and some friends, and we made little, put together little stories, and I was an actor back then. I was more interested in pursuing an acting career.
And you were how old at the time?
I was 11 years old.
11?
And I had always been interested in it, and... So eventually we started making films, and with that, in 1975, I got a sound camera. My father usually, you know, got me the equipment and stuff. And I made some movies, and I kept making movies, and then I, you know, I pulled a little miniature, you know, little miniature head trip, like, you know, this big production company, pretty much the same way Richie Calcom thinks he is now. You know, I had this Paul Mack Productions, you know, and I basically tried to pattern it after Walt Disney Productions, because I was a real big Walt Disney fan.
How many films have you made?
Well, I've made altogether, you know, completed and uncompleted. I've probably done, you know, close to 30, but fully completed works of brilliance. I'm working on my 19th film right now, completed film. And like I say, in the beginning was rough and crude, but it wasn't until I was about 16 or 17 that I actually decided I wanted to do films, get out of acting altogether, and get into filmmaking as a career. And that was about the same time I stopped appearing in my own films and started getting more serious and getting better actors and better technicians and better, you know, the whole thing, and original music, and that's what we're doing today. You know?
Now, you've had some of your films have been on cable television. You've won a few awards for some of your films.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good breaks considering my age, I guess. So when I was, I won my first film award at 16 for The Hands of Mr. Rottermole, which was my first, my second feature film, actually. It was a psychological thriller. At 16 years old, I did that, and won that in San Diego. And then we did a film called The Visitant, which was a turnaround, was a turning point for me, because it featured an original musical score. And as I was making it, I was had in mind wanting to get the thing on cable. So we produced it. I wrote, produced, and directed, and got professional actors to do the film. And it came out quite well for a guy who was only 17. And with this, I was able to get it on TV. It ran on there. They leased it from me for a year. Got $500 for that lease, but hey, you know, it was the fact that it got on TV. And then just recently, it's been put on video cassette. You know,
it is now available on video. Yes.
Under the banner of Strange Tales. Although I went through a bad thing with the guy that owns that company called Vidcrest. But basically, I'm not very happy with the quality of his tape or the way he cut my film, which is originally 22 minutes, down to 13 minutes. I'm not happy with that at all.
But, that is quite a chop, considering it is a short film.
That's including credits. I mean, actually, the film itself, just the film, is 12 minutes, and it's a 22-minute film. I mean, all my scenes are out.
Right.
This is the hell out of me. But no, seriously, you know, it's. But The Visitant is still, to this day, my very best, most successful film, and I wrote that sitting in high school. I wrote it in 3 days. I was sitting around, supposedly, you know, that's what I did in high school. I never studied. I wrote scripts, and I ditched school to make movies. You know, I never went along good in school.
And your current project you're working on right now, which I'm very proud to be a part of, doing the sound on this, is Final Destination Unknown.
That's
we are in the process of working on that right now. When do you expect to have Final Destination released?
Well, we're hoping to premiere. I was hoping originally for October to have a big premiere screening, but now I'm going to just give it plenty of time, and we'll have a nice fat premiere in January of 1987. That is the set date.
Right, and you also had been involved just previously before this on a film, The Blender Caper, which turned out to be an unfinished project.
Yeah, we worked on Blender Caper for about a year and a half. We shot a lot of footage, spent a lot of money. But I, unfortunately, did not write or produce. I wrote parts of it, but I did not produce that. And it just went down the drain, so I learned really never to get involved with other people. I'm mostly, for the time being, going to be in charge of my own productions.
Obliteration, now, that was an award-winning film also?
Obliteration won an award for cinematography. The Visitant won several awards, but Obliteration won cinematography, which I did, and an award from the Science Fiction Academy of Horror Films and Fantasy, whatever, and... I got a special award.
Considering your age, Paul, quite an achievement for a filmmaker.
That thing spanned over 2 years, too.
We're going to have more with Paul Mack on Fun on One over on Part 2 of the Hump Day Special. So please stand by as we reverse to the other side.
Here we're reversing.
Tonight, from Paul Mack Productions in North Hollywood, California, we bring you live a special presentation, Paul Mack's 75th tape anniversary special.
All right, Astra, I thought we reached an agreement on your 50th tape anniversary, that from now on, I wasn't going to be read last on your guest list. And furthermore, Doodoo Lips, why haven't you corrected the very obvious fact that this is a triquarversary, not anniversary.